Hello and welcome to the Walk podcast. My name is Paul Stringer and I'm the managing editor of Research and Insights here at Walk. Now, today we have an exciting topic to discuss. Walk has just launched a new industry snapshot report on trends within the travel and tourism sector. This report is part of Walk's Evolution of Marketing program, which is all about providing marketers with insight into emerging trends and significant shifts in the industry and within different categories. Now, today's episode is a 3 in 15, which means we'll be discussing three major trends from the report in about 15 minutes or so. Joining me today to talk a little bit more about these trends is Stephanie Su, who is a research executive at Walk and one of the lead authors of this report. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
So, Stephanie, we've got three trends to cover today. Let's dive right into it. Can you tell us what the first trend is in travel and tourism and briefly explain what's going on?
Yeah, definitely. So the first trend is all about climate change. As we know, 2023 was officially the warmest year on record, and 2024, experts predict, will be even hotter. And this is having a real impact on how people are traveling.
Interesting. So this is all about the impact of the hot weather. We know last year was a crazy year in terms of extreme temperatures, and that's already been impacting people's holidays. But we're saying that this year it's going to be even worse.
Exactly. And the weather is so important, in fact, that it appears to be one of the biggest considerations for vacation planning. 60% of travelers say it's an important factor when they're choosing where they want to go for holiday, putting it ahead of other things such as food, culture, and local attractions, which are all really important things as well.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I can certainly say as a Brit that weather is an absolute priority for me when choosing where to go. But
yeah,
I'm curious, how are consumers actually responding to this extreme weather when they're planning holidays?
There are two things happening here. The first one is related to where people are going for holiday. As you can imagine, as temperatures get hotter, people will start to look for cooler places to escape that extreme heat. Mm-hmm. And this is also echoed by a survey by Booking.com, which found that 56%, that's more than half of global travelers, say they will use their vacation to cool down somewhere else as it gets a bit too hot closer to home.
Okay, that's interesting. So the heat is changing where people are choosing to take their holidays. And is there a second change that you want to mention as well?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, the first one is all about where people are going on holiday. The second shift has to do with when people decide to go on holiday. So a majority of people are still traveling during summer. That's the peak season, right? But people are also becoming more open to the idea of traveling outside of those peak seasons, like during spring and autumn. And this is something that travel providers already know. So some of them have already started extending their summer season packages, in some cases, all the way up to November, to accommodate that lag in demand because of the heat waves that we've been experiencing.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. And so besides travel operators being a bit more flexible with their seasonal offerings and extending some of those summer season packages, are there any other ways that marketers can think about responding to this particular trend?
Yeah. One more thing that they can explore is to diversify their destination offerings. With the growth of what we call heat escape tourism, destinations with cooler climates such as the Czech Republic, Bulgaria, Ireland, and Denmark are experiencing a boost in popularity. So brands can explore promotions and packages for these alternative destinations that are becoming more popular with more comfortable weather to cater to that demand.
On to the next trend, Stephanie. What have you got for us?
Right, so for the next trend, we'll shift gears a little bit and we'll talk about business travel. Over the pandemic, there was a massive shift from on-site to remote work. And today, those levels of remote work have declined slightly, but office attendance is still lower than it was before the pandemic. And that's having an impact on how people are traveling again.
Right, okay, so this is about hybrid work and how that's impacting travel. And we know that this is a long-term trend, right? This is something that's been happening since the pandemic, that people are working more remotely, they're blending kind of work from home and working in the office. and that's been impacting travel. What are you seeing that's particularly interesting in this area?
One of the things that happened with the shift to hybrid working was that we were forced to really reevaluate what work-life balance looks like. And for many of us, that could mean a renewed emphasis on mental health and mental well-being. Mm-hmm. For business travelers, this could mean extending a work trip for a holiday, as you mentioned earlier, or it could mean working flexible hours to visit attractions outside of peak times. So many people are working in the mornings, in the evenings, and then using the extra hours to explore a local destination. The point is, employees are finding ways to blend business with leisure when they travel.
Okay, and so what's particularly different in 2024? Because people have been blending business with leisure for a long time now, right? And I imagine this has accelerated since the pandemic. So what's so different in, this year?
Well, this year, it's really the scale at which this is happening. Business leisure or bleisure is a huge market and it's growing.
Sorry, did you say bleisure?
Yes.
Okay, that's a phrase I never thought I'd hear. and bleisure, so when we think about the bleisure industry, do we have any numbers or indication of the size of the opportunity here?
Yeah, it's huge. It's expected to double to $360 billion by 2027. And this is mainly due to travel restrictions being lifted and international travel recovering quickly. Add to that the fact that more countries like Portugal, Japan, and South Korea, these are all just a few countries that are now offering digital nomad visas, which essentially allow people to live abroad and work remotely from those countries.
Wow.
And with these developments, the lines between business and leisure are definitely blurring more than ever before.
I've got to say, I do like the idea of taking one of these digital nomad visas and living and working abroad in Japan. That would be particularly nice there.
I'll cross
my fingers anyway, yeah. And is there anything that marketers need to consider when they're planning for the year ahead and thinking about this rising trend of, still kind of weird to say, but bleisure, Stephanie?
Get used to it. I think there are two things to consider. First, when it comes to bleisure travelers, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. As we talked a little bit about it earlier, bleisure manifests in many different ways. Some people may extend their business trips to give them a period of time away from work, while other people may choose to work throughout their trip. So catering to these different needs by offering co-working spaces, for example, will be really important.
Okay, that's interesting. And any other considerations you want to mention for marketers here?
Yep, the second consideration is all about helping business travelers to unwind. So if you really think about it, when you're working and you're traveling, it can be quite stressful to balance both of those things. And this is something a Deloitte study looked at. So they found that half of people who work while traveling have concerns about separating work from leisure during their holiday. Mm. Brands can really tap into that need. It's a real struggle for people and create opportunities for rest and relaxation.
Okay, so this is really about thinking as a brand, how can I cater to that business traveler community and offer more opportunities for them to rest, relax, take their mind away from work. Can you bring that to life a bit more, maybe with an example from the report? I know we've got lots of case studies in there from different brands. Did you come across anything particularly interesting in the research?
Yeah, we came across a hotel booking service that encouraged business travelers to extend their stay for an extra day. They want people to use that last day of the trip to explore the city that they're in. So just do a bit more of a holiday. Mm. So this ties in really nicely with their rewards program, which rewards users with a free night stay for every 10 nights booked. So it's almost like a free extra night for a short holiday.
Let's now turn to that final trend. So what have you got for us in this area?
Right. So the final trend looks at the rise in over-tourism, which is one of the more negative aspects of this post-pandemic boom in international travel that we're seeing. In 2024, international tourism growth is predicted to surpass pre-pandemic levels by 2%, and a record-breaking 4.7 billion passengers are expected to fly globally this year.
That's a lot of trips.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah. And so why are so many people expected to travel this year in particular?
There are many reasons, but one of the biggest ones is the pent-up demand for travel that was created during the pandemic. And we're still seeing the effects of that today.
I can understand that pent-up demand for travel might be one reason why we're seeing a huge flow of people travel this year. Are there any other drivers that you want to highlight?
Other things like live events, those are making a comeback. Sporting events and major concerts. So this year for sports, we have the Euros and the Summer Olympics. Those are big drivers of travel. This year, the Summer Olympics alone is forecasted to attract something like 3 million additional visitors to Paris.
Wow.
Yeah. And add to that, social media, which plays a huge role in promoting places to visit and perpetuating that sense of FOMO or fear of missing out. So it's really driving that interest in travel.
Okay, so as an outsider looking in, I would think, fantastic, this boom in travel would be great for the industry, right? So what are some of the more negative impacts of this trend?
You're right. At a surface level, an influx of tourists can be great for boosting local economies. The problem is that when you have holiday hotspots that aren't built to accommodate such large groups of people, that starts to become an issue. So when they receive more visitors than they can handle, this can be really detrimental to the environment, the infrastructure, local communities, and even just the overall visitor experience. So when you visit somewhere and it's overcrowded, it really just doesn't make for a good holiday experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can certainly recall when I went to Paris for the Euros a few years ago. The transport was totally overloaded. It was impossible sometimes to get into restaurants, and it did slightly detract from the experience, even though, you know, overall it was still good. Are there any particular examples from the report that you want to highlight that really draw attention to this issue of overcrowding and overtourism?
Yeah, I mean, you've just given us a great example from your own experience, but in the report we list out a few other ones. I'll just mention a few here. UNESCO listed sites like Mount Fuji in Japan and Hallstatt, which is a beautiful Austrian town said to resemble Frozen, the Disney movie.
Ah.
These are two extremely popular destinations. They're receiving a lot of visitors and they're struggling with overcrowding and pollution due to that mass tourism.
Wow. And I think I've been reading in the news that some cities and places are actually beginning to impose some tighter restrictions, right, on actually trying to slow down this influx of tourists particularly over the summer.
Yeah, as you say, some major cities have also imposed that tighter restrictions and in some cases outright bans on short-term rental services. These are things like Airbnb, which many travelers rely on for accommodation. And this has already happened in places like New York, Florence, and Penang, just to name a few cities in the last year where these restrictions have taken place.
Wow. Okay. So what's the solution then? So how can marketers think about responding to this issue of over-tourism?
Well, two things. The first consideration, again, is around seasonality. Encouraging tourists to vacation outside of peak periods can help offset mass tourism and generate more sustainable demand for travel services throughout the year. So it's about spreading it out and evening it out a bit more.
That makes a lot of sense. And from a more of a comms perspective, what does that mean? Like highlighting the benefits of off-peak travel and that kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Brands can do this by communicating the benefits of off-peak travel, such as lower prices, fewer crowds, or they can also explore dynamic pricing strategies that reflect those fluctuations in demand.
That's interesting. And we've got a good case study in the report, right? I think it's from a rail operator in Germany, Deutsche Bahn.
Yeah.
And they kind of spoke about trying to motivate Germans to holiday locally during the pandemic by promoting different domestic locations rather than other travel destinations.
Yeah. So again, it's all about spreading out that demand across different locations rather than just concentrating everyone in those holiday hotspots.
And is there any other things that marketers can do to combat this issue?
The second way that marketers can respond is by keeping travelers updated with the latest travel guidance. It can be quite a stressful time when you're traveling and you have to deal with all these new regulations and restrictions. So it's great if you can help to keep them updated and also educate them about responsible travel habits, such as respecting local customs. And this is where social media can be quite helpful, especially with the reach that social media offers. Brands can explore collaborations with travel content creators to promote those better vacation habits.
Great. Well, that wraps up our discussion, Stephanie, on the trends that will impact travel and tourism marketing in 2024. But just before we go, is there anything else you want to mention about the report that we need to know?
Yeah, so we talked about three trends today. but the report actually covers 5 trends in total, so I really recommend reading the full report to learn more. There's also plenty of additional content like case studies. We have a list of brand rankings within the category, ad spend trends, hypothetical scenarios, which are really great as thought starters for marketers that are looking to engage with the trends.
Fantastic. And where can people find the report?
It's already live on the Work site on the Evolution of Marketing page, or you can just search Industry Snapshot and you'll find it.
Fantastic. Well, that's all for this episode of the Walk podcast. If you like what you've heard, please do follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. And if you really liked it, please do leave us a review. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thank you.